Blog Talk Radio.
Pai amado, nós te agradecemos por mais esta madrugada, estarmos aqui na tua presença para te adorar e servir. Que todos os teus propósitos e desígnios possam ser alcançados. Em abençoar o teu povo, a tua unção, com o teu ensino, dando a tua graça sobre o teu filho Zé Garcia, que vai ministrar, vai comentar em nosso favor tudo aquilo que ele tem alcançado e procura distribuir com os irmãos. Que o Teu Espírito dirija todas as coisas, Pai. E que o Teu povo saia acrescentado tudo isto o nosso desejo para a honra e em nome de Yeshua, em nome de Jesus. Amém. Amados, obrigado por mais esta noite estarem despertos, decididos a partilharem esta bênção, a acrescentarem graça sobre graça às suas vidas e às vidas de cada irmão que tem levantado clamor, oração. Possamos nos preparar com louvor para receber estes ensinos maravilhosos que valentes irmãos estão fazendo chegar ao corpo de Cristo, pagaram preços enormes para poder hoje partilhar connosco as bem-aventuranças do nosso Deus, aquilo que os poderes deste mundo, as religiosidades das pessoas, a corrupção deste milénio têm feito para impedir o povo de Deus de tomar conhecimento. Que Deus possa preparar-vos a cada um em paz, em alegria para receber e descobrir estes mistérios, para que tenham ânimo para também vocês escavarem, encontrarem a verdade e encontrarem tudo aquilo que é necessário para o vosso crescimento em Cristo e para batalhar o bom combate. Este é o nosso desejo. Estaremos também transmitindo em inglês para os nossos irmãos que procuram descobrir estes segredos. Que Deus abençoe a todos e que Deus dê paciência para podermos fazer um bom trabalho que alcança a todos. Em nome de Jesus, nós vos agradecemos. Amém. My dear brothers and sisters, thank you once again for your presence with us. We have a special guest tonight. Is our brother Zen Garcia, who have paid a great price for uncovering these mysteries that the matrix, that the powers of this world are trying to hide from the warriors of God, from the sons of God. These are mysteries that these old ancient documents, they express literally, but that the system that is governed by the serpent seed, the fallen angelic sons, the religious people who are in commands of this world, this matrix, have tried for centuries to uncover, to hide from the body of Christ. But we will be talking about the Targum of Palestine. We have made a first part about what is the Targum, what is the origins of these documents. We have uncovered some of the beginnings of the Targum. About the creation, we are going to touch slightly on these matters, but we have a lot of things to go on to uncover. We will be talking about the giants. We will prove here that the sons of the giants, they survived the deluge and they are still amongst us, not on the ancient forms of big creatures, but with another characteristics. And we will touch some of these points, and we will touch again, we'll talk about Cain. We'll put some scriptures here that will make you see with your own eyes that we are not inventing, that our Bible, it was manipulated for centuries, translation after translation, to made us slaves of these dynasties, these monsters, that's all what I have to say about these people. They are monsters. They are feeding of us, of the modern humanity, the Adam's lineage. But by the grace of God, people like Zen Garcia, they didn't stop to search, to ask, and they will be You will be here with us to guide us on all the truth that Jesus Christ said will set us free. So enjoy the ride, prepare yourselves. You are welcome. You are our brothers, our warriors, you are our brothers in Christ and brothers in arms. Please enjoy the worship minutes, and I will bring Brother Zen as soon as he will answer my call. Stay blessed. I will be back soon. Enjoy the songs. It is for our great Lord.
Já gritam das montanhas, levantai-vos e subamos a Sião. Cantemos com alegria e exultemos por causa do Rei das Nações. Jesus, tu és rei consagrado, temido e adorado. Tua igreja se rende a ti, Senhor, a que todos te adoram como filhos amados. Nós te convidamos, vem, 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 vem dançar comigo, amado da minha alma, vem dançar comigo, amado Jesus, vem dançar comigo, amado da minha alma, vem dançar comigo, amado Jesus.
Death, where is your stain? Coral celestial, o meu maestro diz. vivo, mas eu. Quem vive em mim é Ele. Estou ensaiando pra cantar no céu pra Ele. No coral eu quero cantar, declarar que Ele é santo, santo. Grande sou do coral celestial. O meu maestro disse que eu sou especial. Não vivo mais eu.
Seu amor, oh, como
Amen. My Father, in Jesus' name, I ask your blessing for your people. Bless us all with your knowledge. Bless Brother Zen Garcia, that he can give us his insights to make your body healthier, and to all, we all can grow up to the structure you want us that we have on these days. In Jesus' name, we ask, amen. Brother Zen, are you there?
I am, brother. How are you this evening?
I'm fine, brother. How are you? Is it cold there?
It's a little bit cooler than it has been, but it's still pretty good. Not bad.
Okay. It's a pleasure again to have you back. As you see, we have a lot of people here that are hungry for the truth. I have been checking, making my research also. We have already spoke a little about the origins of the Targums. Maybe it was good for you to give us a short resume about that, and we will attack the rest of the Targum you have published. I have been searching here on the net, and we have a lot of scriptures here that I will put for you to comment, okay, brother? Okay, so please, it's your show. Tell us, in short period, where did come these Targums? What are the Targums?
The Targums just means translation. And they came about because of the exile of the people after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, and after the people were exiled to Babylon for 70 years, Jeremiah and Baruch and the people of his time, when they were taken away by Nebuchadnezzar and taken up into Babylon, and Daniel and the other prophets, they lived there for the 70 years that they were exiled there. The vernacular of the day, the language of the day that was most used was Aramaic. And so as the people over that generation, as they assimilated into the culture there in Babylon, and they began to speak the language that was predominant in the area, all of them, you know, the lay people, the common people, they forgot how to speak in Hebrew, and they more spake in Aramaic, and by the time they were allowed to go back into the land and to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem and to worship in the temple again in the various synagogues after, they had forgotten how to read in Hebrew and also how to understand the language as it was spoken by the prophets and the rabbis and the priests. And so so the rabbis had commissioned these translations, which came to be called the Targums. And the Targums would be read side by side in the synagogue. First, they would read the Hebrew scriptures, you know, from the Torah, from the, you know, the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. They would read a line from the Hebrew, and then they would read a line from the Aramaic, the translation of the Hebrew. And so that is what came to be the Targum, which, again, is just means translation. And so
it
these were
has a,
by the rabbis.
Sorry,
what's that?
It began as a oral translation and then became a written translation, right?
Right. It was the oral translation, and until, you know, people wanted to be able to read, since they could no longer read in the Hebrew, and so the Targum translations actually were written down. And there's a number of different Targums now for different aspects of the Old Testament, from parts of it, and also for the different vernaculars, the different languages that they were translated into. And so that's how we came to have these different translations, and all, these all go back to the first century CE, you know, like right after the death of Christ, right after the burning of the temple and the exile of the people, and when Cyrus had agreed to allow the people to come back into the land and for the temple to be rebuilt, and Darius the Great and Cyrus the Great, they funded the actual building, the rebuilding of the temple. And so the people, you know, flooded back into the land near Jerusalem, and Israel came back into being as a nation, and the temple was rebuilt. And so these Targums were read side by side with the Hebrew translations, because basically Hebrew became a scholarly language, and it was not the common language of the area. And so only the priests and the scribes could speak it and understand it, and all of the rest of the lay people, the common people, they spoke Aramaic, and so that's what they were translated into. That's what the Torah was translated into, and these Targum translations were widely read and widely dispersed and widely available to the various peoples. And these translations were in 1832, if I'm correct, but I can look that up. But anyways, they were retranslated into English by a guy named J.W. Etheridge, and those translations were made available 1862 is when it was published. But anyways, those translations were the Aramaic translations of the Hebrew Torah were translated into our English language and made available to us. And so the book that I published, the latest one that I published, is a copy of that translation, because not a lot of people had it. It was not available on the web in full form. I happen to have a copy of it. And so I wanted to make it available to people so that they can increase their study on the Hebrew Torah, and it also complements the King James Version of the Bible. And in my opinion...
And you will...
What's that?
You leave the link here. You then, before you go, you leave the link of your publish, because you have published recently the Targum of Palestine, right?
Yeah, I'll look it up, and I'll join the chat room here in just a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
The reason that I just let me energize something here. The reason that I ask you to tell again the origins of the Targum is because there is a lot of resistance from the religious system and those who are formatted by him, saying that these scriptures are not full of our confidence, but we will prove on this show that the primitive church, they knew the Targums, they used the Targums, and I will prove here with Zen Garcia that they believe in the Targums translations, interpretations, because I will prove that our scripture, our Bible today, our translation, herself, the Bible, proves that the primitive church use the Targums, and that our scriptures, our Bibles, are so manipulated that our listeners and those who will hear, they will look for these Targums to catch what they try to hide with the manipulation of the Bible. So please go on.
Yeah, I think it's important to study everything, you know, and to not limit yourself in any way, because we have been lied to. We've been led astray. We've been deceived. It even speaks about in the book of the Thomas of how the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they hid the keys to the kingdom. And so
True.
You have to realize, and this is one thing that people don't understand, is that there is a bloodline. There's a seed line, the lineage of Cain. They are dedicated to keeping the sons of Adam in darkness and in ignorance. And, you know, if you are not a seeker of truth and you don't study out everything you can, you're just helping them to keep you in darkness. And there's so much that is being hidden away from us as, you know, the masses, that is so important as far as the understanding of the Bible and of understanding the deeper aspects and the secrets that have been stripped away. And so if you're a person like myself that wants to know about these things, then it's absolutely important to read. You know, if I could, I would certainly learn to read in Hebrew, but, you know, that's not, right now, that's not a possibility. And so I study the English translations of the Hebrew and then also the English translations of the Targum translations and also the King James Version of the Bible. Study the Geneva Bibles, all the different ones. And everything should be looked into for somebody that really wants to know, because it's in applying all of it together and having a discernment on all of it that really the truth becomes clear and it unveils itself. It's in seeking that we find and knocking that the door is open. And just like in the Word, it says that if you make the kingdom a priority for yourself, then the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you. And so we must study to find ourselves approved.
Right. My brother, I am putting some of the material that we have covered on the first part about Cain. I am putting here the verses that the original verses that were on the original Hebrew version of the Bible, and if everyone can see that how changed is our Bible. So you can see so much details about what happened with Adam and Eve, what happened on the birth of Cain, how Cain, it was not on the image of Adam. It's in Genesis chapter 4 that only Seth was like the image of Adam. But the manipulation of the Bible goes deeper than this, because this is all a cover-up to try to hide the two seeds that are today, the two seeds theory, that is not a theory, it's a reality of the human beings that are on these days above the heart. So this is all a manipulation of Satan, the fallen angels, who were the real origins of Cain, who were the real origins of the problems of this world. And these are some materials that we have already passed on the first part. But if you want to make some comments about this that I put on the chat room, please do it, because from here we are going to roads. To ride on a great journey through the promised land, until I will prove here that our Bible herself, she proves that the Targums are true. So for those who defend the system, who defend the manipulation, who don't want to people to know about the two seed line, they will be uncovered here. I will put here the proof on a scriptural, biblical scripture, that the primitive church, they have knowledge about the Targums. Okay, so please make some comments about Cain. I put some key verses here, so it's a lot of material here, but we will go on deeper than this.
Well, as I was speaking about earlier on the last show, when I talked about, you know, the reference to Genesis 4:1, to help people to understand what it was that is being referenced there, so that people can see that absolutely Cain is a son of the devil, and that even the King James Version of the Bible in Genesis chapter 4:1 in the KJV, it's clear that once you study the Targums, that that information is also found there. Let me pull up something real quick, and then I'll cover that again. But again, when you read, and I'll pull up all of the passages together. Give me just 1 second here.
Okay.
I just have to open the book where I wrote all this. Let me see what page it is. But anyways, when you study the Targums, all of this becomes so very clear, and it's many different times within the Targum does it say it as well, that it becomes absolutely clear in Genesis 3:15, speaking about the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, and also in chapter 5 of the Targum. But we'll start with Genesis 4:1 again, because I know I kind of rushed this in the very end of the last show.
Yeah.
And I'll be able to explain it in greater detail here. And this is very important for people to understand, because whenever you bring this information up to those that are of the mainstream churches and those that do not believe this is written into the text of the regular King James Version of the Bible, when you understand what is written there, you fully can see how something was left out in the way that it was gapped in presentation in order to kind of lead people astray or to deceive them or to not give them enough information to understand what they're reading. And to clarify that, because this is the one passage I get asked about over and over and over by people that are new to this information. They always go to Genesis 4:1, which says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, semicolon, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." Well, what is very important about this particular sentence and the way that it's written, again, is the semicolon. Because if you look up what a semicolon means, a semicolon, by definition, is a punctuation mark used to indicate a major division within a sentence, or between a complex sentence. It's a distinct separation that needs emphasis other than what a comma can. If you use a comma, it joins the sentence and doesn't provide that distinction. But when you use a semicolon, it emphasizes that those two aspects of that compound sentence are divorced and distinct from each other. And to verify and to clarify upon that, we have to look to the Targums to get clarity as to what that comma, what that semicolon is revealing and also veiling within the text. And so when you read again, the King James Version of the Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, semicolon." That's one separate, complete thought. And then the next thought, "And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." Now, when you look to the various Targum translations, the Palestinian Targum says, "And Adam knew Chava, his wife, comma, who had desired the angel, semicolon, and she conceived and bare Cain, semicolon, and she said, I have acquired a man, the angel of the Lord, period. And she added to bear from her husband Adam, his twin, comma, even Abel." All right, so let's break that down, because here, the Targums, they add quite a bit more information to the Genesis 4:1 of the King James Version of the Bible. So if you break that down, it's similar in aspect, except where there's a little bit more detail added that will help to clarify what is exactly being said within this sentence. Again, and Adam knew Hava, his wife, who had desired the angel. So that would be the first part before the semicolon. Now, that part, who had desired the angel, is a very important part as far as coming to the understanding that the next part, and she conceived and bare Cain, that the result of her conceiving and bearing Cain came not from an Adam knew Hava, his wife, but from the part where she had desired the angel, because Cain is not the firstborn son of Adam. And also another thing that is very important to understand about this is this particular King James Version of the Bible, Genesis 4:1, it begins with that sentence, but this sentence, it begins chapter 4 where the lineage of Cain is written into the discourse. And Adam's lineage, beginning with Seth, because Abel was killed by his half-brother, that is located in Genesis chapter 5. And so if Adam were the father of Cain, Cain would be written in the very beginning of Genesis chapter 5. And this passage, this scripture, should be located in Genesis 5:1. But it isn't. And the reason it isn't is because Adam is not Cain's son. In order to clarify that, you have to understand what the Targums are referring to. So let's continue. So, Adam knew Hava, his wife, who had desired the angel. Now, we know that angel to be Satan, Lucifer, or Samael, the angel of death.
Right.
The next part, it says, and she conceived and bare Cain. And she said, I have acquired a man, the angel of the Lord. So that...
Right.
The result of her desiring the angel is what led to the conception of Cain. And that's why he's found in Genesis 4:1 and not Genesis 5. And so the next part of the passage clarifies the first aspect of the Genesis 4:1 passage. It says, and she added to bear from her husband, Adam, his twin, even Abel, meaning that the result of her knowing Adam was that Abel was born from that conception. And so really we have two different children and two different seed lines being introduced in this same passage. But that Cain is a reference to the child of the devil. And to get even greater clarity as to what is being referenced here, we have to go to the next Targum, the Targum of Jonathan, the Aramaic Targum, which the verse that I just quoted from before was from the Palestinian Targum. And in this Targum it says, which will give even greater clarity, and Adam knew his wife Eve, who was pregnant by Samael, and she conceived and bare Cain, and he was like the heavenly beings and not like the earthly beings. And she said, I have gotten a man from the angel of the Lord. And so if you look at all of these together, you realize that what the King James Version of the Bible is kind of leaving out is the fact that Eve had desired the angel, and that her having desired the angel is what led to her being pregnant by the angel Samael, and that her conceiving Cain was a result of her being beguiled by Satan. And so when you put all of these passages together, then it makes sense what is being referenced in the King James Version of the Bible of Genesis 4:1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. Yes, he did know Eve, his wife. But that resulted in the birth of Abel. The next part.
Right.
And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. That was a result of her being beguiled by Satan. And that Cain was, in fact, the firstborn, the first hybrid, the first child
right.
of the devil. And that's why he's found in Genesis 4:1. And not Genesis 5. Now, when you go to Genesis chapter 5 of the Targum, it says this, which even brings it even into greater clarity. It says, this is the book of the genealogy of man, in the day that the Lord created man. In the likeness of the Lord he made him, male and female he created them, and blessed them in the name of his word. And he called their name man in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat Seth, who had the likeness of his image and of his similitude. For before had Hava born Cain, who was not like to him. And Abel was killed by his hand. And Cain
right.
was cast out. Neither is his seed genealized in the book of the genealogy of Adam. But afterward, there was one born like him, and he called his name Seth. So that this particular passage verifies that Cain was not like Adam, did not have his similitude, and that he was the murderer of his half-brother. And just to clarify, It emphasizes, and Cain was cast out. Neither is his seed genealized in the book of the genealogy of Adam, which begins with chapter 5.
Right. Brother, then I also put some scripture about, that is in Exodus chapter 7, that it talks about the war. The spiritual war that Moses and Aaron had with the Pharaoh and his magicians. And the reason that I put this version of the Targum, that's because this version of the Targum of Palestine, they talk details that prove that the church, the primitive church, used the Targums. It talks about the name of the magicians that says Janis and Jambres. This
right.
is not on the King James Bible
no.
now. This is not on the Exodus 7 in our Bible now, but it's in the Targum, which means that these Targums were used on the primitive church, which means that in Second Timothy 3:8, who talks about James and Jambres, it means that the Paul and Timothy, they use the Targums to build their faith, because it's not on this Bible now, because it's manipulated, but it's in this Targum that you have published. So this is a proof, and this is important for our guests to understand, the manipulation of this religious system, who puts the Bible like Jesus to manipulate the mind. But the Bible is a work of Jesus. It's Rhema word, not the Logos word. The Logos is Jesus. They can manipulate the Rhema word. They can manipulate the Bible, but they cannot manipulate Jesus Christ. So this is the proof that I was talking, that this Targum is valid, that all these mysteries, they try to hide it because they don't want to know who is behind the curtain moving all the human puppets. They don't want to know that there is a lineage and there are fallen angels working today, enslaving our minds, enslaving our hearts, trying to deceive us with half-truths. And this is the proof that I was talking. Do you want to comment?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Even Christ in the New Testament speaks about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and how they had been trying to hide the keys of the kingdom. He says that, I know you are of Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. And he tells them how they did not hear his word because they are not of God, but they are of their father, the devil, and that he blames them for being for killing every righteous prophet from Abel to Zechariah. And he calls them
right.
a den of vipers, you know, the seed of the serpent. So unless you have this discernment, so much of what is written even in the New Testament just does not make sense fully until you have this spiritual discernment. And then when you do, this becomes a skeleton key for unlocking so much that is veiled and little understood within the both the Old and the New Testament, even with Matthew chapter 13, where it talks about the enemy that snuck into the garden and that sowed the tares, and that he clarifies when the apostles ask him to explain the parable of the wheat and the tares. He tells them that that you know the devil is the father of the tares, and so and then he tells them about the harvest at the end of the world and how he would send out his angels as reapers to gather the tares for the barn, for the burning, and that the wheat would be gathered for
sure.
the barn, and how there would be the separation again of the wheat and the tares and the goat and the sheep, those of the left hand from the right hand, the wise from the foolish virgins. And so, and you know, for people that think this is just a spiritual, that all of this is just a spiritual paradise, they are deceiving themselves, because even the Freemasons, the New World Order, the elites, the globalists, the transnationalists, the elect of this world, or those that consider themselves to be the elect of the world, or Satan's elect, they know about this knowledge. They absolutely been hiding these things. They are keeping themselves in the shadow, and that's one of the reasons why they don't want this information to get out. That's one of the reasons why I'm criticized so heavily, and I'm, you know, people try to discredit me so heavily, is because they don't want this information out for people to understand what's really going on, because these people are
yes.
tied to the New World Order and tied to the seed of the serpent, the line of Cain.
But these people that criticize your work, when you get to Genesis 4:1. And ask him why Cain is not on the Adam's genealogy, and why it says the Bible that he is not from Adam, that he is not like on his image. They don't have answers. They don't search answer for that. So their credibility goes down because you search and you find answers. They don't search this.
Right, right. And, you know, this isn't something that I just wanted to believe. It took me a lot of research and a lot of study and a lot of verification before I ever went public with any of this stuff, because I knew how heavily criticized people were for bringing this information up. And, you know, and even in Luke chapter 3, when you have the lineage of Christ being written down and referenced all the way back to Seth, Cain is left out of his lineage. And so, I mean, there's so many things that are in the Old and New Testament that depend on people having this knowledge. And I reference all these things, and yet, you know, people still deny it, and how they can so is just beyond me. I think, you know, that there is really, there's an organized conspiracy to keep this information from coming
yes.
to the limelight, and that people try to align it with, you know, white supremacy or with Hitler and Nazism, or they do everything they can to discredit the message and to keep people from looking into it themselves.
Yes, one of the things that I am amazed is that the effort that is made to conceal all matters related that concerns about the fallen angels. I put here some amazing details on the Targum of Palestine that talks about Genesis, the Watcher, the Genesis 6 event.
Oh, yeah.
It says
I wanted
there
to
that. Yes, so I have put on the chat room just to cover. So, what the Targum says really, where the our Bible says Genesis 6:4 that there were Nephilims on the land. What the Targum explicitly says is the name of the fallen angels.
Yeah.
You can check there. There is it's Samael, I think, and Uziel that is written there.
Right.
So yes, Shazam, you know, I don't know how to say this, but I know that it's Samael. Semiaga,
yeah.
Right. So
it's
this
the same
is
thing that is
the father's
referenced in the Book of Enoch as the, you know, the watcher, the 200 watchers that fell. But let's go ahead and go into that so people can understand what we're talking about.
Yes.
Yes,
please go.
Yeah. Do you need to translate it?
Go on. Yes, it would be good because I'm putting also in Portuguese, but I think it's good to for the people in Portugal and Brazil.
And then we'll go into the next part.
Ok. Meus amados, nós estamos falando de coisas importantíssimas. Eu sei que nós temos dado prioridade ao inglês, mas é para não cortar o raciocínio do irmão Zen. Mas ao mesmo tempo eu tenho posto aqui as comparações entre o que está escrito no Targum e o que está escrito na Bíblia, não é? Vocês podem comparar com aquilo que nós temos na nossa Bíblia atual e os detalhes que estão aqui sendo expostos. E a prova que eu vos dou que o Targum é válido, porque há muita gente ligada ao sistema religioso. Fez tudo por tudo durante séculos para encobrir a realidade sobre os anjos caídos, as duas sementes que estão em inimizade perpétua sobre a face da Terra. Eles não sabem lidar com a verdade, mas quando Deus quer revelar a verdade, não há nada que impeça. Então nós temos aqui claramente que no Targum nos fala do confronto que Moisés teve com o faraó e os seus mágicos. No Targum está explicitado o nome desses mágicos, Jannes e Jambres. Vocês têm isso em 2 Timóteo, mas se forem verificar em Êxodo 7, onde fala esse facto, vocês não têm lá nada sobre o nome desses mágicos, Jannes e Jambres. Que a igreja primitiva, o autor de Timóteo, que supostamente é Paulo, tinha acesso aos Targums? Porque se não está nesta Bíblia é porque ela foi manipulada. Mas o Targum comprova o que está escrito em 2 Timóteo. O Targum apresenta mais informação do que a nossa Bíblia, o que quer dizer que é digno de mais confiança, o que significa que a Bíblia que nós temos hoje, em termos de detalhes, é menos rica do que o Targum. Com isso eu provo de que o Targum é válido. Se era válido para Paulo, o que é que não há de ser válido para nós? Só porque os pais da igreja, a determinada altura, decidiram fazer o jogo dos anjos caídos? E podem, ao ler estas passagens que eu estou pondo aqui, podem ler como há detalhes riquíssimos. Sempre em Gênesis 6:4, diz claramente o nome dos watchers, dos vigilantes, dos anjos vigilantes que se prostituíram com as mulheres. Simeaza, Uziel. Vocês tiverem acesso ao livro de Enoque e ao livro de Jasher, vocês vão ver que bate tudo certo com aquelas. E todos esses livros foram retirados da nossa Bíblia precisamente para que nós não cresça nenhum sobrenatural na guerra invisível que está sendo travada. E sabem quem é que está fazendo isso? É o joio da parábola do trigo e do joio. É o joio que foi misturado. Para quê? Para nos impedir de travar o bom combate. Saber, desconhecendo o inimigo que nós temos, caminho andado para a vitória dele. Então vocês hoje são privilegiados porque estão tendo acesso a coisas que durante séculos os filhos de Adão foram privados da descendência de Adão. Começou lá na Idade Média com o latim, não é? A Bíblia só era lida por alguns e era em latim. Depois, com a Reforma, começou-se a abrir essa porta. Mas hoje estamos a ter acesso a tanta informação que, meus amados, só quem não quiser se preparar para a batalha é que vai ser escravizado, vai ser enganado por este sistema que está se preparando para a vinda do anticristo, para a manifestação dos aliens salvadores e por aí fora. Leiam com atenção sobre o que aconteceu na gestação de Caim, está no chat do Zoom, também com tudo o que foi falado acerca aqui sobre Gênesis 6, e vamos ouvir o que é que o irmão Zeno Garcia tem para nos falar mais. Amen, brother. Go on, please.
Okay, just wanted to let Right Brain know in the chat room, I'm not understanding your question. He asked, what was your original learning of the Bible? I'm not exactly sure. If you're asking me what my background is, I was actually involved in the New Age for 20 years before I came back to Scripture. And then, no, I didn't grow up in the traditional church. My father was a Catholic, and my mother was Presbyterian. But my background is that I studied from the Shinto Buddhist on my mother's side, and also from the Yaqui Indians from my father's side. If you want to know more about my own personal testimony, I do a show here on blogtalkradio.com as well, /Fallen Angels TV. And I have recently just did a show called The Angels of Destiny, where you can I cover my whole, my whole kind of spiritual background and how I was led to this discernment. And I also write in my latest book, my seventh book, Skyfall, The Angels of Destiny. In chapter 14, I speak about my personal discernment, my awakening, and how I came to all of this knowledge. Mm-hmm. So you can also find it on YouTube. Just type in Angels of Destiny, and you'll find that that particular testimony.
And so but anyway, there was someone who asked about Moses being a king. I think it was the snow drift, I don't know. That's a story that is uncovered in Book of Jasher, how Moses before went to the desert, he passed some years as a king on a region like Ethiopia, I think. But it's in Jasher, and you can check that there, the Book of Jasher.
Yeah, and we're going to quickly run out of time, so I want to try to get this last part done.
Yes.
On chapter 6, because I think this is really important too, especially for people that are new to the Targums, that have never studied them before. This will give you an idea as to the amount of detail that is found also within the Targum. And going to Genesis chapter 6 about the sons of God, it says this, and it was when the sons of men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, and fair daughters were born to them. And the sons of the great saw that the daughters of men were beautiful and painted and curled, walking with revelation of the flesh and with imaginations of wickedness, that they took them wives of all who pleased them. And the Lord said by his word, all the generations of the wicked which are to arise shall not be purged after the order of the judgment of the generation of the deluge, which shall be destroyed and exterminated from the midst of the world. Have I not imparted my Holy Spirit to them, or placed my Holy Spirit in them, that they may work good works? And behold, their works are wicked. Behold, I will give them a prolongment of 120 years, that they may work repentance and not perish. I have to go down just a little bit. From the Jerusalem, and the word of the Lord said, the generations which are to arise shall not be judged after the manner of the generation of the deluge, which is to be destroyed and exterminated and finally blotted out. Have I not imparted my spirit to the sons of men, because they are flesh, that they may work good works, but they do works of evil. The next part about Shemyaza says this. Shemyaza and Uzziel, which, you know, we know him as Azazel in the Book of Enoch, Shemyaza and Azazel. So Shemyaza and Uzziel, who fell from heaven, were on the earth in those days, and also after the sons of the great had gone in with the daughters of men. They bear to them, and these are they who are called men, who are of the world, men of names. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and all the imagery of the thought of his heart was only evil every day. And it repented the Lord in his word that he had made man upon the earth, and he passed judgment upon them by his word. Now, going down just a little bit more, it's interesting to me that if you read a little bit further, it actually speaks about how the giants were brought before, that were gathered. It says this, I'm going to read just a little bit from the part about Noah. And it was at the time of 7 days after the conclusion of the morning of Methuselah that the Lord beheld, and lo, the sons of men had not turned. And the waters of the deluge came down hotly from the heavens upon the earth. In the 600th year of the life of Noah, in the second month, which was the month of Marchesivan, for hitherto the months had been numbered from Tishri, which was the beginning of the year, at the completion of the world in the 17th day of the month. In that day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. So it tells you exactly what day the floods came upon the earth. But the next part is really interesting as well. It says, and the giants were gathered there together with their sons and perturbed them. And afterwards, the windows of heaven were opened. And then it talks, you know, about the deluge. And in every one of the passages, just about in all of the scriptures, there's great addition, a great detail added to, you know, most scriptures. And so when you read the Targums, you get a greater understanding of what has been read. It's like, you know, all these different details that were left out. It's like you get the extended version of a movie, you know, like the director's cut.
Right.
And so that's why I think it's really important to study and to read that.
Yes.
One other thing real quick before we run out of time, and then I can comment on whatever it is you want to. But I wanted to share something from that is also in the Targums in Genesis chapter 14, which I find very interesting. And this is something that you do not find anywhere else or any mention of. You can find it located in the, you know, the Jewish fairy tales that speak about what I'm about to allude to. But it says this. In the Targum of Jonathan, Genesis chapter 14, it says, and Og came, who had been spared from the giants that died in the deluge, and had ridden protected upon the top of the ark, and sustained with food by Noah, not being spared through high righteousness, but that the inhabitants of the world might see the power of the Lord, and say, were there not giants who in the first times rebelled against the Lord of the world and perished from the earth? So this is talking about how Og of Bashan, which, you know, we have, it says in the Bible in Genesis chapter 6, how there were giants on the earth before and after the flood, and nobody knows how any of the giants survived. And here in the Targums, it makes mention of Og as having been sustained by Noah, and that he had ridden on top of the ark. And so when I first read that, I thought, well, that was absolutely fascinating. And so I wanted to look to see if I could find more information about this, if there was anything else that could verify or confirm this particular story. And lo and behold, I found a book of Jewish fairy tales that speak about the giant and the flood. And it gives a great detailed accounting as to how Oz had ridden on top of the ark and was spared by Noah so that he could survive the flood. And then, you know, he was supposed to help Noah, but then he rebelled after Noah had saved his life, and that he went on to become king over Bashan, and that he was the king over 60 cities of that area, and that he later opposed Israel and was destroyed for, you know, for coming against them. And so for people that want to read the story, it's interesting, and I'm, of course, I'm not saying that this is exactly what happened or that this is inspired in any way. It's just interesting to me that this story you find in the Targum, and then you find a Jewish fairy tale or a Jewish lore, which is thousands of years old, that also speak about the same thing. And so for people that want to read the story for themselves, just look up the Jewish fairy tale, The Giant and the Flood, and you'll be able to read that story for yourself.
Yes, and the Targum and the Bible is full of scriptures that talk about the descendants of the Anakins. The Anakins were the real giants before the flood, but there was a descendant that went to that land and fortified there. When the Israelites want to go there, they were there, and they need to be not to be spared. God wants to deliver the land, and even after the conquest of Canaan, they were not all died. There was a remnant that still remained until the days of Goliath, and you better believe today they are here. The big ones, they are not on plain sight. They have a Nephilim descendants with strange powers, with strange capacities, and these people, they are ruling the world, the material world, the financial world, and that's how we have become his slaves. Do you agree then?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's what, you know, a large part of my work is about. My fourth book, Lucifer, Father of Cain, which, you know, publishes all this information, and I also have in that book the story, you know, the references from the Targum, especially this one here on Oz, and I also published that entire short story, the Jewish fairy tale about the giant and the flood. And so if people are interested in wanting to know more about the seed of the serpent and the enmity between the seed of the woman and how this connects to and stems from the war in heaven, which, you know, was the first separation of light and darkness, and the insurrection, the rebellion of Lucifer and the rebel angels, and also the second incursion of the Watchers, Semyaza and Azazel, all of that is found in my fourth book, Lucifer, Father of Cain. And I tie, you know, the seed of the serpent to the New World Order and also to the Sadducees and the Pharisees of Christ's day, and that even though they were of Abraham's seed, they sought to kill him, and he said that they are of their father, the devil, and that they were the ones that were responsible for the murders of every righteous prophet from Abel to Zacharias that was killed in the temple. And so all these things, unless you understand these references and understand that there is a literal bloodline, a lineage dedicated to evil and that worships the fallen angels and the Satan, Lucifer, as their god, you would not understand what we're dealing with as far as the Freemasonry, the secret societies, all the royals and the elitists giving their allegiance to these different, you know, Knights of Malta, Knights of Templars, Knights of this, Knights of that, all all these secret society organizations, these Masonic brotherhoods and sisterhoods, they're all connected. They're the New World Order. They're tied to the Illuminati pyramid that has Satan as the power, the principality, the ruler of darkness, wickedness in high places. This is a spiritual war, but it is ongoing on this planet. In those of the flesh, we are forced to take sides. And that you cannot just sit on the fence in this lifetime anymore, because you will be spewed out. You will be counted as the lukewarm, and you will be counted as with the wicked. And so you have to make a choice. You have to choose to find and to seek out the kingdom and to understand all these things so that you can understand the matrix that we were all born into and led astray by, so that you can break the spell and awaken yourself to remembrance.
As I put then in now in chat room, Numbers 13:33, it talks about when the spies went to the land of giants, and they came with reports. And now they saw there the giants, and they specified that they were the sons of Anakin.
Right.
And this kind of beings, they were not only great in stature, as they were bad, so evil, so spiritual evil, that he had a kind of power that changed the hearts of the people. They become with fear. They start being fearless fight, even being with God there in the midst of them, they were a kind of telepathic powers that they provoke on the warriors, the great warriors. They had so much victory, they had saw the power of God. And even so, only Joshua and Caleb were courageous,
right.
And only these ones, they entered the promised land. All the other ones, they died. Because God doesn't want that us to become fear men. He doesn't want. This is not the frequency of God. And you can see all this noise around the world, wars and financial crashes and dollar crashes. You can see that there is a spiritual orbit behind this. These are the giants, the power of these giants now. They want us to walk in fear, walk in despair, and to behave, to be real puppets from these masters, to do what they want us to do, because they know how to cut our power, our faith in the Creator. So this is nothing new. It is another theater with other actors, but it's the same invisible war. We will not need to wait much more time to see all kind of devil manifestations on the world. And there will be a day that all the people, even us, will not be strange to this. It will be a common thing for us to see some guy become a werewolf or a vampire on the bus, on the subway. You see, it's just one more Nephilim. Do you understand? Do you agree with this? This is all a preparation for the acceptance of the all kind of horrible things that are coming.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Christ even said that, as in the days of Noah, you know, so shall I be in the days of the second coming of the Son of Man. So, yeah, we're going to see all this spiritual weirdness and all this fallen angel manifestation and the demonic entities and the return of the Nephilim and the giants. And so, yeah, all these things are happening even in our lifetimes. Even Steve Quell speaks about how, he's been given accounts of our special forces in Afghanistan encountering giants. And then it wasn't long ago that the Native American indigenous populations here in this country, that they were at war against the red-haired giants. And so, yeah, these kind of things are going to be absolutely in our face. Even weird things, just recently there was a flight with 239 people that just disappeared. Nobody knows what happened to it. I mean, there's all kind of
weird things. I was going to talk about this. I was going to talk about this. Is only the beginning, because this is all a preparation for us to understand. Okay, when we'll see the aliens coming back with the plane and all the people, see, we are good. We are your creators. We are your fathers. We don't kill them. We just want you to prove that we have power to destroy you, but we want to come with peace. This is only the beginning, because all the humanity is working on fear now. It's resonating in fear. So when they present, oh, we are harmless, all people will forget Jesus Christ. And this is the Armageddon, spiritual Armageddon now, not the physical one, but it's the spiritual world within cruise velocity, working against our minds, against our hearts, because Armageddon, it's against the Lamb. It's not against Israel. I don't get tired to talk this. Prepare, spiritually prepare. Prepare to be like Law. Don't look back. His wife looked back and was judged like the sinners. Don't look back. If we have to lose gold, we lose gold. If they want our gold, give him the gold, because we have the fountain of gold in us, inside of us. Our God, I said this yesterday, brothers, and on the last day show with Brother Marcus. Our God is a God that rock to testify if it's necessary. He gives vision and direction to the prophets using donkeys.
Right.
He feeds the prophets with crows. So what can we fear about the Illuminati, about the dollar crash? We have God, the fountain of all blessings with us. That's how we will win this giant. That's how today we will be like David. We don't need the sword, we don't need the shield physical. We need the armor of God. We need to open our eyes, spiritual eyes, and see all these manipulations, centuries by centuries, all the resistance to this knowledge. They don't want this. They don't want to be known. They don't want that the army of God to be prepared. But you and me and people like Zen Garcia that paid a heavy price. I don't know if all of you know the story of Brother Zen, but I will tell you. He was a free guy. He could do everything he wants. Now, I hope that you don't mind that I share it, because I do it with good intentions, my brother.
He's on a wheelchair.
Okay, he's on a wheelchair. And he's on the seventh book about the truth. Do you think that these guys, they have some kind of mercy on being bad to this brother of ours? No, they just don't want him to talk about the truth that he knows. But Brother Zen didn't stop. Nobody could give a good answer about Genesis 4. Why Cain is not on genealogy of Abel? But they know how to criticize, how to dump down Brother Zen. But he's an example for us. He's on a wheelchair. But this is the way that God uses more. Because with this, he showed his courage, his heart, like David. He never stopped when a giant comes in front of him. So please share this work. Please, Brother Zen, give us your site. Give us, again, your link for the Targum of Palestine. Because it's important for people to know the work that you do, how courageous you are, and I want to contribute with all the instruments that God gave us. To us, you are a partner, you are a brother of arms of our ministry, and I want people to know you, to know your work, to read your books, because those that work in fear, they just follow, they just honor their gods, their fathers. the same father that the Pharisees follow to kill Jesus Christ. But we don't resignate in fear. The spirit that operates in us, inside of us, does not operate with fear. Sweet love, you can check all the founts that are extra this Bible we have, because there's a lot of truth there. Maybe you can find some manipulations there. I agree with this, but there's a lot of truth there that will complete your vision, your puzzle you have to make to understand your purpose, your greater call on this life, that you are a soul that incarnated to honor, to live forever, starting here, to honor your Creator, Jesus Christ. Do you agree, brother?
Yes, brother, and I do appreciate you sharing my work and also for being brave and standing up with the Most High and the Son and with truth at all costs, you know, because the world is not kind to this kind of information and for those that side with
That's
this
true.
Kind of truth and that have been brought to this kind of a discernment. But that's fine. You know, I care nothing about this world. And I have no fear
yes.
of any, you know, those New World Order elitists that are in it. If they want to take my life, then so be it. But I know who I'm working for and what I'm here to do. I know what my role and my mission and my purpose of being here. I've come
Amen.
To remember. I remember my first estate. And I am trying to help others to also to have similar disposition and also to put the kingdom as priority. Because all the other things are just an illusion. It's just one lifetime in the immortal journey of soul. And we're here to
That's
verify
true.
And to confirm and to prove our allegiance to the Father and the Son in service to each other and to humanity and to them. And so that's where my focus is. That's what I'm here to do. And so those that are interested in my books and in my work, you can find a compilation of my books on zengarcia.com. I do have a new one out, Skyfall, Angels of Destiny, which is my seventh book, and it's about pre-existence and predestination, our higher calling and our roles and our mission for being here in the flesh in this lifetime in this embodiment. My best-selling books and the ones that are, you know, most controversial are my fourth book, Lucifer, Father of Cain, my fifth book, Awaken to the New World Order, and my sixth book, Sons of God, Who We Are and Why We're Here. I do two radio broadcasts, one every Sabbath on the Saturday, 5 to 6:30 p.m., blogtalkradio.com/fallenangelsTV. My main website where you can join us as truth seekers in fellowship is www.fallenangels.tv. And I also do a Wednesday evening broadcast on Revolution Radio at www.freedomslips.com. Studio B, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday. And so you can find my work. And also on YouTube, I publish under Endeavor Freedom. Endeavor Freedom on YouTube. And you can find a lot of my guest appearances. And all my Revolution Radio broadcasts are also on my Endeavor Freedom website, the shows that I've done with the Hijacker, and you can find all of my information, again, at my main website, www.fallenangels.tv. It has all of my broadcast times and all of the information connected to my books and the blogs and the videos and all that. And I make all of this available to people freely. You don't have to purchase my books. If you can't afford them, if you're having a hard time just feeding yourselves and your family, just contact me through zengarcia.com. I'll be glad to send you an electronic copy of the books that I have available right now, my fourth and my sixth. And you're welcome to share these electronic copies with others. I just want people to understand the gospel, to be able to read it to where it makes sense, to where the truth is unveiled and that people can discern in the way that will affect their lives profoundly and help them to remember our first estate, who we are, why we're here, what all of this is about, so that they can get busy with the real work and quit living for the carnal aspects of life and being and place their emphasis on their focus back on Christ, who is the way and the truth and the light and the salvation, the promise of eternal inheritance. And that's where the real work is at. And so I honor you, Jose, for doing what you're doing, brother, and I appreciate always the opportunity. And if you want, we can, you know, we can do another show next Thursday. But
okay,
you know, but I
will contact you.
Yeah, definitely.
I will contact you on the week.
And all the people in the chat room for your commentary and your prayers and your kindness. I appreciate all of you. And likewise, I pray for you as a family, as the Fellowship of Christ.
Thank you, brother. You're always welcome. I have put your link on the chat room so people can check. You better believe, guys, that each book of this guy you will be reading, you will grow. You will become a real giant on the faith. Thank you, brother. I will contact you on this week.
Okay, brother. God bless you. God bless everybody. Good night.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. My brother, it's always a pleasure to have a humble warrior like Dan Garcia with us. He's a real example for us. He's a fount of inspiration because it's a great, great heart, a great, great courageous man that doesn't goes back. He's on his journey in the same path, with the same velocity, going to the eternity, serving the Lamb. So please support his work. You better believe it's a great way you have to spend your dollars on these uncertain times is to take this material in your own hand. I am willing for receiving my books too. I have bought 3 of them, but I know that this genius, creative genius that God sent to the earth, will bring much more than this. He is always preparing. He has already new projects that you can accompany on the website. I want to warn you warriors and brothers that next Saturday, around 1 p.m. Eastern Time, so 1 p.m. Eastern Time, it will be midday, 12 a.m., 12 p.m. on Central Time. It will be 11 Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Mountain Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Time. We will have here another great guest, another great warrior called Pastor Doug Riggs. For you to know, it's a pastor that is working with women that were sexually, ritualistic, abused on satanic cults. These are the supposedly mother of the modern hybrids. And you better believe that will be a great, great, great program. You will not want to lose also this show. Please, if you can, here, share our work, share this show, share and be present with your praise, with your fantastic power that you have inside that comes from God, because we all have to make a decision these days. We all have to take action. There will be a day that you no more will be possible to avoid one of the sides? Or will you work to Jesus? Or will we work only to the devil? So you better believe that this is the preparation of the army that will be on the bridge until the physical appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great time for us to live as a soul sent by God, by the Creator, to this earth to help the army, the brothers, to resist until the great day. But for me, it's a big pleasure. The pleasure that I have to steal life from Satan, only the love for the Lamb is bigger than this pleasure. So, as you can see, it's almost 5 a.m. here in Portugal, and I'm alive, and I'm on fire. So, my brothers and my sisters, do not be afraid about the rumors about the wars and the rumors of wars, about the missiles, about the disappearing planes, about the manifestation, about the dollar crash. We will win, sooner or later. Jesus Christ, Yahushua, will bring all to an end. Will bring and come to give each one for his works. But you better believe the best work will be recompensated. It's the work for the kingdom. So my brothers and my sisters, I want to thank you for staying with us. Please, I want to challenge you to share this show on your Facebook, on your website. Make notion about this work, because people like Glenn Garcia, their works, they need to be known. We will end this show remembering you. Please come join us Saturday with Pastor Doug Riggs. You will love it. You will love to embrace this fight. Stay strong. Deus abençoe. God bless. Deus abençoe a todos ficaram conosco, all that stay here, listen this show, and all those will hear on the archive, and Saturday we'll be back. God bless you all, and give the glory to the first and the last, to the Alpha and the Omega, to the Lamb and the Lion of Judah, Yahushua, Jesus Christ.